Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I've been really inspired by the first two presentations, and especially enjoyed both sets of comments about Brother Malcolm. And I guess we feel that one of the things that Malcolm would want now is for us to move forward with programs to address the real conditions and needs of our people. So I've been asked to comment on the work of the Black Workers for Justice and what we're doing. The Black Workers for Justice is a black liberation organization with a focus and program for organizing workers and bringing an organized labor concentration to the National Black Liberation Movement for National Liberation. We were founded in 1981, directly out of an indigenous struggle against discrimination and economic injustice by three black women workers from a Kmart store in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. With the time limitations that we have, I guess the details on our founding and early development might not be warranted right now, but I did want to make a few comments on the socioeconomic conditions in the Black Belt that have undergirded the development of the Black Workers for Justice. Certain economic, socioeconomic conditions characterize the Black Belt South today, which constitutes the framework for the development of basic organizations in the South, such as the Black Workers for Justice, and provide for us our parameters for operations with both limitations and opportunities and certain necessary problems that our work has been forced to address. Two predominant characteristics shape the conditions of the African American people in the Black Belt today. Number one, between 1974 and 1985, more than 5.2 million jobs were relocated to the South. Demonstrating a major shift in the U.S. imperial state economic structure, which of course was global in its parameters, but which also changed the economic character of the South and vastly increased the trend of runaway South from the North to the South, which had began in the early 60s. Busting and anti-labor policies, which were the cornerstone of the Reagan-Bush New Right administration. Consequently, organized labor itself has taken a broadside hit, while corporations and at least parts of industries have moved into the unorganized and underdeveloped Black Belt South. And yet the South has remained the poorest region in the United States. Secondly, roughly 53% of all African American people still reside in the Black Belt South. In over 90 counties, we constitute still the majority, or at least 50% or more, of the population in those counties. And as a mere reflection of the political powerlessness of the African American community in the South, I just want to cite some information about black elected officials. In January of 1989, there were only 7,190 black people elected to office in the U.S. 4,800 of those elected were from the South. Of that 4,800, roughly 3,000 held positions at the city and county level, 200 at the U.S. State legislative level, 400 in law enforcement, and about 900 in educational positions. Consequently, in terms of laws, policies, and the social context of the South, it remains the bastion of rights work laws and hire and fire will laws, as well as low wages and a pervasive character of underdevelopment, especially in the black, Indian, and poor rural areas of the South, which is the Black Belt. And this also has meant the lack of meaningful control over the institutions that affect our lives on a day-to-day basis. In 1987, median income for a black male worker in the South was only $11,000. For a black female worker in the South, the median income was $6,700. In the South, more than 34% of the black population lives below the so-called government poverty level, which is only $12,000. Black workers can simply be characterized in the South as the working poor, with the black woman worker at the extreme end of that. 34% of all Southern black families are headed by females. These are roughly the conditions in the South that has kind of shaped the development of the BWFJ. I want to talk a little bit about our program. Over the years, the tenets of our work have evolved to include these areas of concentration. Number one, we call for the building of a labor movement in the South with an industrial concentration as the framework for its organization. This call is rooted in the focus upon the need for trade unions to build in the South. The BWFJ over the years has worked with various trade unions. We've helped to organize certain campaigns. Members of our organization are also members of trade unions such as they exist in the South. Secondly, we call for a definite unity between the struggle for black political power in the South and the building of the labor and trade union movement. As an example, for more than 3 years, members of the BWFJ worked in the majority black town of Keysville, Georgia, helping to build this movement for reactivation. We worked in Fremont, North Carolina over the years, helping to establish the first black elected officials in that small town. We've worked in communities such as Shiloh and many other smaller communities, but which really constitute majority black freeholds or strongholds in the South. Number three, the building and constant convening of the Black United Front in the South and nationally, and the building and consolidation of a solidarity movement throughout the country with the movement to organize the South and to build trade unions and to fight for black political power. These three factors are kind of the thrust of our program. In terms of our operations and methods, the Black Workers for Justice publishes a newspaper, Justice Speaks, once a month, 11 times a year. We formed a trade union commission, which has been focusing on the question of industrial development, how to bring that about. Their concentration has been on the poultry industry, which has largely, if not totally, situated itself in the South, and basically has a workforce of black women workers and some extreme problems. So we've been working on an industrial approach to that industry. We have formed that was formed in 1985. In 1985, we also formed the Women's Commission. That commission has been formed to address the particular problems that women workers are confronted with in the South, anchoring ourselves in the struggle against sexism and male chauvinism, both in our community and within the broader society, and particularly in the workplace, as women workers face that. And we've seen the differences in wages. Some of the work that we've done over the years, I would just like to mention a few of these, of the things that we've been involved in. In 1988, the Black Workers for Justice helped to lead a struggle against the plant closing in the South, which was the Sledge Lock Company. This was a division of Ingersoll Rand, which is a major international conglomerate, or whatever they call themselves now. And this was a very successful campaign which helped workers to struggle against this plant closing and demonstrated that a struggle could take place and force the company to give concessions to the workers before it was able to close its doors. And that struggle is still continuing today with the effects that that company has left in North Carolina before it closed and moved to Mexico. That was a major important campaign in the area where we were working, and it's still having its effect upon the consciousness and organization of the working class, particularly in North Carolina. In 1989, the BWFJ launched the Workers Want Fairness campaign, which is a campaign building and calling for the building of a labor movement in the South. Through that campaign, we have begun a broader effort to build and sustain implant committees within a number of the workplaces. These are not the first implant committees that we formed by any means in plants, but at the level that it's operating now, it represents an advance in some of the work that's been developing. The Fairness Campaign has also been making a concerted effort to educate the national community about conditions of workers in the South, the need to build a labor movement in the South, the need for trade unions to come South. We've been reaching out and trying to educate a number of the trade unions and encouraging them to come South and begin organizing again. We also participated as a part of this fairness campaign in 19, 1990 in what we called an Organize the South Midwest Solidarity Tour. And through this tour, we took 18 workers to the Midwest, and we traveled to Detroit, Michigan, Cleveland, Ohio, Chicago, Illinois, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we also had a stop in Erie, Pennsylvania. And through this tour, in the effort to build the tour, there was a formation of solidarity committees with organizing in the South in each of these cities. And those committees are ongoing at this time in terms of the work that they're doing to educate people and to bring more attention and support and resources to an organized movement in the South in terms of building a labor movement. Also, an aspect of the Workers Want Fairness campaign has been to call for, and this is something that that we're still working toward, the convening of a massive labor conference in the South, which can hopefully consolidate a program of how to move forward, you know, with the participation of the trade unions and bringing forward the black community as a united front into that, with the ministers and other community leaders participating in, but to make a concerted effort to really organize the South and to focus on it as a labor movement throughout the U.S. And recently, as a part of the Workers Want Fairness campaign, we have launched the Rehire Ina Best campaign. And this campaign was initiated because upon our return to the South after the Midwest tour, one of our members and one of the workers in the plant who had organized to elect a union in the plant was asked to, and they were defeated by the company. But a number of the workers there who the company considered to be leaders or a threat to keeping the union out over the long term were harassed, and one sister in particular was fired, who had worked in that plant for 18 years and had an excellent work history. And the solidarity committees that have been functioning across the South have now taken up the Rehire Ina Best campaign. Because this campaign brings forward the whole question of the right of Southern workers to organize. And it is also a fight for this sister to win her job back. And we've been here this week, in the week previous to the Malcolm X conference in New York, where a new solidarity committee has formed on a speaking tour where we've met with the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, a number of international representatives, some church leaders, and a number of other trade unionists throughout New York, and have presented the story of her firing and also the story of the conditions in the South and the struggle that needs to be waged to organize trade unions in the South. And this has been a great campaign. Yesterday we were a part of the Daily News rally. They were having rallies downtown. It was a massive rally in which Jesse Jackson spoke, and we also were speakers at that rally, you know, raising up the Rehire Ina Best campaign and the conditions of workers in the South. Listen to some more words. Thank you.